ローは多様性を重視しているため、いろんな経験を持った世界各国からのボランティアさんたちが協力して作り上げているラジオ局です。ボランティア中にできた友達や思い出は一生忘れません。 CJ ローではライブ収録、マーケティング、ブロードキャスティングなど、いろんなボランティア活動ができる場所です。応募お待ちしております。
For CJLO News, I'm Cameron McIntyre. Muslim Awareness Week kicked off this Thursday, and there will be a series of events combating Islamophobia across the city. Katie Brady has more.
All Canadian citizens have rights.And duties. And as Canadian Muslims, we also have duties.
The 6th annual Muslim Awareness Week launched this Thursday at City Hall in Montreal. Commemorating the 6 lives lost and 19 injured, Muslim Awareness Week is a week of solidarity and exchange with a wide variety of activities. Salam Al-Musawi is one of the co-founders. He told CJLO a bit about how the commemorative events promote inclusivity and build community.
Shed some light on Muslims, their contributions, challenges, and concerns in Quebec, and also to offer a space within from these diverse and rich activities, offer some space for dialogue between Muslim Quebecers and their brothers and sisters in humanity.Dialogue with mutual respect, of course.
Al-Musawi says the volunteers behind Muslim Awareness Week are ambitious in their vision for the future of the week-long event. They hope to expand beyond major cities and have events to mark the mosque attack and promote dialogue in more rural areas. Al-Musawi notes that Islamophobia is still on the rise since the 2017 mosque attack. He says these commemorations can bring a sense of belonging and security to many in the Muslim community.
The governments, the different levels of governments on top of the ordinary citizens getting involved in such initiatives, they feel they belong to these areas. They feel a little bit out of the exclusivity that's being portrayed.
You can view the complete calendar of events ahead of the vigils at McGill and Park Metro on the 29th on the web at ssm-maw.com. For the full interview with Salam Al-Musawi, find CJLO's weekly news roundup on Spotify or head to frequencynews.ca and search for Muslim Awareness Week. In Montreal for CJLO, I'm Katie Brady.
Our weekly news roundups are Thursday morning at 9 a.m. And you can find more news on CJLO 1690 AM's SoundCloud and Spotify.
Gentlemen, the Tommy John Show is back on a conference championship Monday, the Monday after the AFC and NFC championship games, and we know who will be playing in the Super Bowl in 13 days' time. Unbelievable. We have one game left in the NFL season, and it's the Super Bowl. Crazy to think we're already here. If you're new to the program, I'm Tommy Lane, and this is the Tommy John Show, where every Monday from 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on CGLO 1690 a.m., we discuss everything going on in the world of sports, whether it's football, hockey, baseball, UFC, you name it. We cover it here on the Tommy John Show. So I know most throughout the year on this show, if you're new listening, we spend a lot of it on the National Football League, and rightfully so. It's the biggest league by a long shot. But we find even when the Super Bowl is over and you have that little lull before the combine, it's still NFL crazy headlines. Still, whether it's coaches moving on, GMs moving on, people making mock drafts. The NFL has done an unbelievable job as making their sport the most relevant 365 days a year, 366 on leap years. That's just what the NFL does. We will always talk about the NFL, whether it's March, July, we will talk about the NFL. And don't just take it from me. If you look at all the sports talk shows, it's always NFL talk. Yeah, when the basketball and hockey playoffs are on, they address that. Baseball. But it's all this offseason, it's like, what are the expectations for Rodgers and the Jets and so on and so forth? It's always around football. And now we have one game left, and it's the biggest one to crown a Super Bowl champion. Will it be the Kansas City Chiefs for the third time in the Patrick Mahomes era? Or will we have Mr. Irrelevant and the 49ers win their first championships and Steve Young in the 90s? So we will talk about that one. Actually, we'll have two shows to talk about it. We'll have this week and obviously next week. There's 2 weeks until the big game. So the next two shows will be a lot of football talk. But also, we're heading into the All-Star break in the NHL, the trade deadline coming up, same with the NBA, and spring training a month away. It's already, man, that baseball offseason is short and sweet, and we are about to get spring training. Still big free agents on the market with pitchers like Blake Snell, Montgomery, and others. We will get into that. And also, it would be, dare I say, inappropriate if we did not address what is going on in Montreal with the Canadiens. People have kept asking me, Tom, what do you think about the Canadiens? I want more Canadiens talk. We'll get to more Canadiens talk throughout the hour. Trust me, when the NFL is done, I will try and switch to more. I will. I will make it a point to talk about the other sports more. I felt like when we started the show a year ago, we always talked a lot about basketball, about Jokic and stuff like that, a lot about McDavid and the Oilers. And then it's football crazy. The fall, end of summer, just football mayhem. So we will talk football today, and we'll also talk about the other sports as well. So here we go. Why don't we talk about the games that happened over the weekend? The AFC Championship game had the number one seed, Baltimore Ravens, taking on the reigning defending Super Bowl champion, Kansas City Chiefs. And the game, the first half was incredible, and the second half was more of a defensive battle, offensive struggle. But when you think about it, when you looked at the two quarterbacks, you think this game, I know they both have good defenses, but this game, you know, will be into the high 20s, maybe low 30s. No, 17-10. The Kansas City Chiefs go on the road. Remember the whole thing, how the Chiefs can't win on the road? They won two playoff games at Buffalo, at Baltimore, and they are going to the Super Bowl for the fourth time in five seasons. And Mahomes, this is his 6th year as a starter, his fourth Super Bowl appearance in 6 years, looking for his third championship. And with the third championship, already he would have the same as Troy Aikman, and he would have more than Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, John Elway. I know Mahomes has only been around for 6 years or so, but it's been an incredible 6 years for him to already be a top five quarterback of all time, and he's only played 6 years, just based on resume. Yeah, he's a two-time MVP, two-time Super Bowl champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP. And right now, they're in the position to win another one. That'd be three Super Bowls. Unbelievable start to a career. Credit Andy Reid. He's an unbelievable coach. Travis, Kelce, we're not taking anything away from them. But the Chiefs are going to be good for a long time with Patrick Mahomes as the quarterback. The NFC, man, that was a game. I don't know many people who were cheering for the 49ers. Not because they hate San Francisco, just because everyone wanted Detroit in the Super Bowl. And it looked like that for a half. 24-7, they led at the break. I thought it was over. But credit Brock Purdy and the Niners and Christian McCaffrey, Kyle Shanahan. They played great football in the second half. Took advantage of some crazy breaks, whether it was the interception off the guy's helmet. Forgetting which player it was now. The Jahmyr Gibbs fumble. They played great. And we will, yes, we'll talk about Dan Campbell not kicking the field goal and going for it. We'll talk about that. But unbelievable. That was a great, of the two football games, not saying the Chiefs-Ravens game, it was entertaining, but it was more of a physical, which I was surprised. I thought it'd be more of a skill game, but it was a more of a physical, chippy game. Even saw the pregame, the Chiefs game. It was chippy. This game was just offensive machines going at it. And one worry, I thought San Francisco had an amazing defense. The last 2 weeks, Jared Goff and Jordan Love have shredded this defense. And if you're the 49ers and Steve Wilks, you got to drop a good game plan because you're going into the best quarterback in the NFL who is red hot of late. Just red hot, I mean, of efficiency. He is completing around over 70% of his passes right now. I'm telling you, he is playing great. And while they might not have the skill players like the Lions or even the Packers, agree, Kelce's great. Rashee Rice is young. You know, Valdez Scantling, you know, they're okay. Pacheco's a good running back. They're not St. Brown. They're not Jameson Williams. They're not Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery. And we'll get into this throughout the show. The Lions had firepower. We understand that. The Packers had firepower. We understand that. But Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. And to think he is not going to show up and play well would be foolish of us to say. So the 49ers defense has a lot of work to do in the next 2 weeks. I think that extra week helps them, but also helps Andy Reid, the game plan. And this is not, I know we had this Super Bowl 6 years ago, or whatever, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, I forget now. 2020 season. We had the Super Bowl, and it was a great game. And for 3.5 quarters, the Niners controlled that game. But these are two different teams now. Jimmy Garoppolo's not the quarterback anymore. He just isn't. It's Brock Purdy now. Richard Sherman's not there on the back end. DeForest Buckner's not there. It's a different team. But also, Christian McCaffrey wasn't there, and Brandon Ayuk wasn't there. And Tyreek Hill isn't there for Kansas City. But this is 2 years now with the Chiefs not having Tyreek Hill, and they've gone to the Super Bowl both times. As ugly as this year was at times, they found a way. And we can't say they didn't have an easy road to get there. They didn't have to play. I don't want to take a shot at Houston, but Houston. Or they did not have to play. You name it. A wild card team of caliber. They played Miami was the one seed for most of this season. And albeit it was freezing cold when they played them, they beat them. Buffalo was the hottest team in the NFL coming into the playoffs. Won 6 in a row to get in. They beat them. The Ravens were far and away the favorites to win the Super Bowl. They went on the road and beat them. So I have nothing to say. You could say in years past, yeah, they lucked out. You know, one team lost, whatever. Yeah, not this year. They went on. They hosted the best offense in the NFL and only gave up 7 points. They went on the road to the hottest team post-Thanksgiving And they played the best team all year on the road, and they beat them. Now, some will say San Francisco will be their toughest test yet. I could agree with that. I thought Baltimore was tough. But here's, we'll get into what I said before the game, and we'll address it after the break. But I can't wait to talk football this entire hour with you guys. As well, we'll mention something going on in the NHL. The Montreal Canadiens wrapped up their, I don't even know what you call it, the pre-All-Star break. I don't know what percentage of the season it's through. I'd say we're right around 55-60%. They've played 49 games. We'll say 60% of the season is over for the Canadiens. And it's been up and down, really up and down. You had the highs of beating the Islanders on Thursday and then losing to the Penguins in overtime Saturday, losing to Ottawa, getting your teeth kicked in by the Bruins. So it's just been up and down all over the place. But they have a nice little rest here. They got a week off. They play next Tuesday, February 6th, which is post-All-Star break, at Washington. And if you look, they're on 48 points. You know, it's starting. They're starting to fall behind a little bit. You know, you have, it's a big jump from the Detroits and the Torontos, who are on 57, 58 points. But you look at, man, the Boston Bruins, 71 points. And they, that stretch, which we were talking about, Florida was right on their heels. I think it was around 59 points, 58 points. And the Bruins lost four in a row. And people were like, oh my God, Florida's going to take over first place in the Atlantic. The Bruins went on a five-game win streak, and the Panthers have went on a four-game losing streak, and that lead grew. Now, credit to Florida. They've won four in a row now, but the Bruins just keep winning. That's two wins in a row. What's that, six out of the last seven? Six out of the last eight? They're 7-1-2 in their last 10, and they got a five-point lead, which is not insurmountable, but it's a nice, healthy lead for the Bruins in the Atlantic. You go to the Metropolitan, the New York Rangers, who have been struggling of late, got a much-needed win over the weekend in Ottawa, 7-2, the final. They lead the way in the Metropolitan. The Carolina Hurricanes, second in the Metropolitan, only 2 points back with a game in hand. Philly, who were a great story, still in third, but they've lost five in a row. And they got destroyed by the Bruins Saturday, 6-2. It was 4-0 the end of the first period. And you look, they're losing to Detroit, Tampa. That loss against Ottawa has not aged well. And they're struggling right now, I have to say. Back to the Western Conference, the Colorado Avalanche leading the way, 67 points. Man, Nathan MacKinnon is putting on a clinic right now. He is the odds-on favorite to win the Hart Memorial Trophy. Had four goals earlier in the week, and him and Nikita Kucherov are just pulling away in the points race. It's unbelievable. Dallas on 66 points, still right there. They are 7-2-1 in their last 10, buzzing. The Winnipeg Jets, they've lost three in a row. They were far and away the best team in the Central for most of the season. They weren't giving up any goals. They've fallen on a little bit of a rough patch here. Lost to Toronto on Saturday. They are on 65 points. Still two games in hand and 2 points back of Colorado and to the Pacific. What can we say about the Vancouver Canucks? They just continue the win. They were down 4-1 going into the third period Saturday night against Columbus. Brock Besser hat trick. Thanks for coming. The Canucks prevailed there. They remain the number one seed in the Pacific, 71 points. They are 7 points up on the Vegas Golden Knights. And the Edmonton Oilers have won 16 games in a row. 16. Now, those days of being in the basement of the NHL beginning of the year are long gone. They were the worst team in the NHL after the first 3 weeks of the season. And people said, this is a Stanley Cup team. What are we doing? We're going to be in the Celebrini lottery. They are on fire. They are one win away from tying the record set by the Penguins, I believe, in 92-93, winning 17 in a row. 16 in a row before the All-Star break. They have not lost, since December? They haven't lost in 2024? You serious? That's unbelievable. McDavid and Draisaitl are playing great, but they're not relying on them as much. Yes, they are still by far the two best players, and they are by far leading the team in points, but you have Zach Hyman stepping up, Ryan McLeod stepping up, Nugent Hopkins stepping up, everyone's stepping up now. It's not just them. Evan Bouchard, Ekholm, Darnell Nurse, and Stuart Skinner, who people thought they had to give up all their draft capital to get a goalie. Stuart Skinner, post-Thanksgiving, U.S. Thanksgiving, has been arguably the best goalie in the league. Stat-wise, he's in the Vezina hunt. Incredible turnaround. They are on 59 points, and they have 5 games in hand on Vegas. The way they're playing, 10 points, they're right there. They're right there. Unbelievable. We'll get into a quick ad, and we'll come back and preview Super Bowl. I don't even know what number we're at. 57? 58? I think it's Super Bowl 58. Right after this quick word from our sponsors, this is the Tommy John Show, every Monday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern on CGLO 1690 a.m. Back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Présenté par SiriusXM, le festival déjanté de musique alternative Le Fuck Off est de retour pour sa 10e année consécutive. Du 9 au 17 février, la ville de Québec sera animée par des spectacles et des vitrines de musique émergente de tout genre confondu. Procure-toi ton billet et viens découvrir des artistes éclatés comme Teke Teke, Catashot, Solipsisme, C'est Nicole, Population 2, Totalement Sublime, Virginie B et plus encore. Le Fuck Off, c'est le festival qui réchauffe ton mois de février. Visite le phoqueoff.com pour plus d'informations.
Join us every Tuesday night at midnight on CJLO for Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd. Hey, I'm Craig Bailey, your host for an hour of music from the dark side of the moon, an hour of Pink Floyd. It's Floydian Slip, every Tuesday night at midnight, right here on 1690 AM CJLO. Learn more at floydianslip.com.
The Tommy John Show back here on CJLO 1690 AM. And man, it'd be rude of me not to give a shout out to the players in the NBA who went nuclear this weekend. We had, Joel Embiid drop 70. We had Devin Booker drop 62. And then, are you kidding me? Luka Doncic on Friday against Atlanta. 73 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists. What? Unbelievable, unbelievable. I have to give a quick shout out to them. That's incredible. And I know the game is more, the rules are more in favor of the offensive side of the ball now in basketball. Fouls are, I know it's easy to come by, but there is a lot of free throw shooting in the NBA now. But that's still unbelievable. Unbelievable. What a performance. 73 and 10? And he was crazy efficient. I forget what he shot, but I remember talking to my buddy. I'm like, oh my God, he shot like 60-something%. Not like he's just jacking up shots. He was being incredibly efficient. And just a quick look at the NBA standings. The Celtics still leading the way, 3 games up on the Milwaukee Bucks, who hired Doc Rivers over the week. And he said, I wouldn't wish this position on my worst enemy or something along those lines. I forget exactly what he said. But he said it's going to be tough coming into a team at the midway point of the season, trying to win a championship. Yeah, it is, Doc. But you've won a championship, albeit his knock recently is that he can't win big series. We'll see. You've got arguably the best player in the world in Giannis and one of the best point guards in the world in Damian Lillard. Win a championship. I know Boston's great. I know Philly's great. Get to a final and see what happens. So you have the Celtics, like I said, Milwaukee, the Sixers, in the third seed, 5 games back. And unbelievable story, the New York Knicks, since trading for OG Anunoby, have been incredible. 8-2 in their last 10. They've won 6 in a row. They are the 4 seed in the Eastern Conference. The Cavs are the 5 seed. The Indiana Pacers, 3 in a row. That Siakam-Halliburton connection working well. The Miami Heat, the 7 seed. The Orlando Magic, haven't heard of their name in the playoffs in a long time, the 8 seed. 9 are the Bulls, 10 are the Atlanta Hawks. That would be the cutoff right now for the play-in, 7 plays. 8, 9 plays, 10, so on and so forth. We go to the Western Conference, and the Oklahoma City Thunder tied with the Minnesota Timberwolves atop of the Western Conference. 2 young superstars leading the way there with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander on Oklahoma City, Anthony Edwards in Minnesota. They are leading their teams, both 32 and 14. They are the top 2 seeds in the Western Conference. The LA Clippers have won 5 in a row. They smacked my Celtics over the weekend. They're the 3 seed. The defending champ Denver Nuggets, the 4 seed. Sacramento Kings, the 5. The Phoenix Suns, 6. The New Orleans Pelicans, 7. The Dallas Mavericks with a red-hot Luka Doncic is 8. The Lakers in the 9th seed at 24 and 23. An incredible game from LeBron James on Saturday night beating Golden State. And the 10 seed, the Utah Jazz. You look at Golden State, 3-7 in their last 10. They are the 12 seed, but only 3 games back of the last play-in spot. And trust me, no one wants to play Golden State in a play-in game. Because if Steph gets hot, if Klay returns to old form, you never know what Draymond's going to do. You just don't want them in. And right now, they're 19-24. Not used to seeing Golden State that low in the standings. So here we go. Some NFL talk. I have to say, I don't want to say I've been a Mahomes hater, a Mahomes denier. I just said people were too quick to anoint him the greatest quarterback they've ever seen, or I'm like, too small of a sample size. But I am definitely on the Mahomes bandwagon when it comes to he's the best quarterback in the league. He is the most talented quarterback in the league, et cetera, et cetera. Yes, I have to say that now. He is incredible. He is right now, what, a top 5 quarterback of all time, just already. You have Brady, Montana. We have Peyton Manning. If you want to go old school, autogram Johnny Unitas. I wasn't there. I've heard they were great, but I can't. Okay, you want to go there? I can't stop you. Then you get into the John Elway, Terry Bradshaw, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino kind of a situation. So Patrick Mahomes is 14-3 in the postseason? Has gone to 4 Super Bowls now. He's won 2 of them. Now, people can question all the holding call in the Super Bowl. Still, you got to get to the Super Bowl. He's gotten to 4 Super Bowls. And he's a 2-time league MVP. And what is he, 28, 29 years old? So it would be, you got to think right now, he's in the top 5 greatest ever. I don't like this best conversation. The best quarterback I've ever seen, because that's totally subjective. It's not a talent contest. It's not a talent show. Like, Aaron Rodgers is probably the best quarterback I've ever seen. If you're talking about throwing a football on a field, it's Aaron Rodgers. But like, you can say Jeff George or Jamarcus Russell, just guys with cannons, were the best quarterbacks you've ever seen. So I get what people are trying to say. Oh, he's the best. Like, physically, watching him play. Okay. But that doesn't matter. I think the main of people saying wins is not a quarterback stat. Damn right it's a quarterback stat. When it was Tom Brady winning, they said it wasn't a quarterback stat. Now that Mahomes is winning, it's a quarterback stat. So, okay, we are including wins. And the objective of a quarterback is to win and manage a football game. And make sure your team wins. Don't turn the ball over. Make smart decisions. That's the goal of a quarterback. It's not to put on a throwing clinic. I get it. But Manning and Brady and Joe Montana were not as flashy is Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers or Dan Marino or John Elway. Okay. But they got the job done. And if I'm not saying Pat Mahomes didn't get the job done, clearly he does. But I heard a lot on talk radio today that, oh, Mahomes is, there's a difference between greatest and the best. And Mahomes is the best I've ever seen, but Tom Brady's, I'm like, stop this. Let's just all compare him. If you want to say Mahomes is the best quarterback, greatest quarterback of all time right now, no, he's not. If you want to say he's the most spectacular you've ever seen, okay, fine. But that's irrelevant to me. I don't care about that. It's not a combine. But still, right now, we are in the Kansas City and Mahomes era, and I get that. I was fortunate enough to be a Pats fan growing up in the Tom Brady Patriots era. We're just in a new era of the NFL, and it's Mahomes and the Chiefs. And I'll be the first one to say when they traded Tyreek Hill away, I was going to be like, oh, is it going to work? Is it going to work? And they won the Super Bowl last year. But they had nice receivers in there. Juju Smith-Schuster, who we laugh at now, who got that big contract in New England, he was huge in the postseason for them. Huge. He got the call, right? He drew the penalty in the Super Bowl at the end. Kadarius Toney last year made big plays. But this year, from weeks 1 to 18, there were up, downs, everything with Kansas City. Now, the week 1 loss to Detroit, okay, week 1, you don't take much from it. Kelce didn't play, fair enough. Then they went on a heater. But you look at some of the games they lost down the stretch. They looked awful at Denver. They looked awful on Christmas against the Raiders. I mean, the list can go on and on. Even against the Patriots. The Patriots were in that football game against the Chiefs. They did not look good. And here they are, back in the Super Bowl, going through Baltimore, going through Buffalo. I mean, think about it. They looked terrible for multiple games this year. Philadelphia lost the Monday night. Vandes Scantley couldn't catch that pass, and everyone blamed the receivers, rightfully so. They lost to the Packers at Lambeau. They lost to the Bills, the Raiders on Christmas. And here they are, back in the Super Bowl. And the person who I think deserves a ton of credit, who we need to mention as one of the great coaches of all time, is Andy Reid. He realized, you know what? Kadarius Toney has just been a disaster, and he has corrupted the minds of our receivers, basically, by his drops. We're just not even going to play him. He's inactive. You know what we're going to do? Pat, you're great. You're all-time great. What we're going to do is be a run-first and play-action team. Get Kelce one-on-one. Get Rashee Rice one-on-one, and we're going to do... That's genius. And Steve Spagnuolo and his defense is cooking right now. That was an MVP. He's going to be MVP Lamar Jackson. That was against an offense that looked unstoppable in the regular season. Look what they did to Miami. Look what they did to San Francisco. I mean, they were on fire. And they scored 10 points. And what I like about Kansas City's defense is they do not give up on a play. I know a lot of defenders who would see Zay Flowers breaking up, going to the goal line, and not do anything. No, we're going to try and punch the ball out when he dives. That's a heads-up play by that Kansas City defense. 10 points. And that's a young defense, too. You look at L'Jarius Sneed and Reed and McDuffie. Chris Jones, one of the best defensive linemen in the league. I know he's up there in age, but he's playing great. So Andy Reid says, yes, I know I have the greatest player in the league in Patrick Mahomes. But what we're going to do is we're going to let our opponents lose the game instead of us trying to win it, basically. That's what I've seen. You look at that game yesterday, it was Zay Flowers. How many unsportsmanlike penalties did the Ravens have? That's got the Chiefs, and I heard Dave Portnoy say this yesterday on his video. They're trying to be like the Patriots. They're just so disciplined. They don't take any stupid penalties. They're well coached. And the turnovers, they realize the Chiefs have been in the playoffs with Mahomes long enough. And they were in the playoffs before Mahomes even was drafted. People like Kelsey and others. They know, you know what? Turnovers in the postseason are, they're so important. This is not week 11 at Denver. This is the AFC championship game at Baltimore. This is the AFC divisional round at Buffalo. We make a turnover, that's our season. They don't turn the ball over. It's unbelievable. Mahomes would rather take a sack, which he doesn't take many sacks, or throw the ball away, do what you're supposed to do, than try and do a Lamar Jackson or a Josh Allen where you try and force something that's not there. Trying to be Superman. He realizes, no, I would rather punt the ball away, put my incredible defense out there, and win the game by forcing the other team to make mistakes, the inexperienced teams. Lamar Jackson throwing that ball into double coverage in the end zone, ridiculous. Zay Flowers not covering the ball while going, ridiculous. And the taunting penalty was stupid. Kelsey getting into the defender's face and him, Van Noy, reacting. Kyle Van Noy, he's been on how many Super Bowl teams with the Patriots? That was stupid. The Chiefs did not beat themselves, and they let their opponents beat themselves. What, like last week, Sean McDermott going for it? The Chiefs would never have done that. They're like, punt the ball away, there's still time. Josh Allen fumbled once, twice. Diggs fumbled, they were lucky they didn't recover. But those teams were like playing the Chiefs, they just, I don't even know, it's like they vomited. And the Chiefs knew it. The Chiefs knew that eventually someone's going to make a mistake. And we're not going to do that. Sure, we might not score a touchdown every single drive, but we're not giving our opponent extra possessions. And that's the key. The team that does, that wins the turnover battle usually wins the game. I want to know how many times in playoff history a team that has won the turnover battle has lost the game. Not many. You pay double for turnover. Isn't that the saying? You pay double for turnovers in the postseason, and the Chiefs don't turn the ball over. Their quarterback's smart. Not if the big play's there, we'll take it. If Kelsey's one-on-one on the outside, we'll take it. But I'm not going to force a ball or a pass that's not there. I'll run up the middle, take 2 yards. Other teams don't do that. Or, like, look, the Lions were coasting, and then there's... obviously, turn the ball over on downs. And also, Jahmyr Gibbs fumbles. All these things happened. And you're just giving teams extra possessions. Unbelievable. So, that is why I pick... first of all, I don't... everyone seems to be going after Lamar Jackson today. So, which I don't understand. The media does like a 360. Everyone said Lamar... like, there was a discussion this week on First Take. We're like, who would you rather have Sunday, Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes? And like two people said they'd rather have Lamar Jackson. I'm like, are you crazy? As much as I don't like the Chiefs, who in their right mind would take Lamar Jackson on yesterday afternoon before the game? If you did a draft, if even if the Ravens right now, yesterday, before the game said we could switch quarterbacks, would you do it? Hell yeah, they'd do it. Hell yes. I couldn't believe it. And I just, for some reason, Lamar Jackson, I don't want to pile on the guy. I was rooting for Baltimore. I'm not a Baltimore fan either, but I was hoping the Ravens would win. I was praying they would win. Let's get some new teams in the Super Bowl. But the whole week, I said Kansas City is going to win this game. Because one team is Patrick Mahomes, and Lamar Jackson, for some reason, the postseason is not the same quarterback. Whether it's they throw the ball more, whether it's they get behind and they're a run team, whatever the reason. I picked Kansas City because of that. One team has Mahomes, the other one has Lamar Jackson. And when I was seeing how everyone said, I don't know how the Chiefs win the game. Well, I've seen Lamar Jackson when he's had the far better football team, whether it was at home against the Chargers his rookie year, whether when he was the one seed coming off a bye against Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, whether it's on the road in Buffalo. I'm sorry, in the postseason, he is not the same guy. Now, is he a top 10 quarterback in the NFL? Yes. Is he going to be a two-time MVP? Yes. But the conversation or the hatred that people get when they call out Lamar Jackson for his postseason play is ridiculous. I knew, even the first half against Houston last week, let's not act like he was Tom Brady or Peyton Manning in the first half. He was awful. It was 10-10 at the half. And then Houston, God bless them, they had a great season, but they gassed out down the stretch. They were tired, and Lamar played well. So in his playoff career, Lamar's had what? Two good halves? The second half against Tennessee when they won the wild card round, and the second half last week. That's it. He's had two good halves in his career in the postseason. And y'all were trying to tell me he was going to beat Patrick Mahomes. I just didn't see it. Even as much as I was rooting for Baltimore, I'm like, our only chance is the Ravens' defense just comes up clutch, which in the second half they did. They got the Chiefs off the field, and the Ravens, who had the MVP of the league, and Zay Flowers, and Odell Beckham Jr., Mark Andrews is back, likely's there, and it didn't matter, because Lamar, for some reason, in the postseason, just not the same guy. Now, it's not to say Lamar's never going to win a Super Bowl. We're not saying that. But I don't like how we are treated. Like, why are we the bad guys for saying prove it in the postseason? I'm sorry. I cannot believe he played that poorly yesterday. I picked the Chiefs because I feared Lamar was going to do this. But right before kickoff, I'm like, you know what? He made the spectacular touchdown play. I'm like, you know what? Lamar's done with hearing the playoff talk. He's ready. After that one spectacular play, he was terrible. Terrible. And no, he does not get a free pass. Even if Mahomes played like that yesterday, he would get called out for it. But for some reason, Lamar Jackson, he gets a... How dare you critique Lamar Jackson? He is spectacular in the regular season. We're not saying that. He deserves the MVP this year. We're not saying that. But to say in the postseason, when everything's on the line, everything you've worked for this year is on the line, they had a home playoff game to go to the Super Bowl. And you put in a performance like that. And this is not the first time. I just said how many times he's done this. So don't get mad at me or others who say, you know what, Lamar Jackson, for me, I know he's two MVPs, not a top five quarterback. Lamar in the postseason, I'm sorry, he's had two good halves. Two. Like, Burrow went to a Super Bowl. Josh Allen has had spectacular games. Mahomes is going to his fourth Super Bowl. Matt Stafford won a Super Bowl. Like, as spectacular as he is, and he is probably going to win another MVP down the line. But that's irrelevant to me. He could win 10 MVPs. If he doesn't get it done or play well consistently in the postseason, I'm still going to take Burrow. I'm still going to take Allen. Of course I'm going to take Mahomes. Matt Stafford. Tell me, like, playoff Lamar is not a thing. It absolutely is a thing. And we got to talk about it. They had the best team on paper by far, and their defense did not give up a point in the second half. All imagine Harbaugh just said at the halftime, he had a crystal ball. Guys, the Chiefs are not scoring for the entire second half. We need 10 points to get it to overtime. We need two drives and two touchdowns to win the game. And you have the MVP of the league, a two-time MVP with loaded weapons. Remember, before Lamar's doing all this, no weapons. Zay Flowers is a weapon. And Mark Andrews is back. He's a weapon. And Likely's a weapon. And Bateman's a weapon. I don't want to hear it. There's no excuses today for Lamar. None. I don't want to hear him. I don't. He is not. I'm sorry. Like a week ago, people were saying, how dare anyone say Josh Allen's better than Lamar? And then a week later, I'm going to say, how dare you say Lamar's better than Josh Allen? If I'm being honest, hell, Dak's done more in the playoffs than Lamar Jackson. The people last week, when Josh Allen lost, and he did not play poorly, he played pretty well, frankly, very well in that game, and he was getting killed. They're saying, and on first take, how dare people compare him to Lamar Jackson? No. Lamar lost to Josh Allen in the playoffs a few years ago, and has Lamar ever played a game in the postseason like Allen played against New England, and like how Allen played against Baltimore, and how Allen played in the greatest football game ever when they lost in overtime when Allen was flawless? I'm sorry, Lamar, that is inexcusable. Having a game on your home field with all your fans there to go to the Super Bowl, and you do that? Tommy, Zay Flowers fumbled at the goal line. Okay. That wasn't the game. There was still an entire quarter left. And what did he do? Throwing the ball into triple coverage. Like, I'm done for Lamar until he proves in the postseason. I'm serious. I'm not saying he has to win a Super Bowl, but play an entire game like your regular season self, which he hasn't done at all. And I know Mahomes is all-time great, and that's why I picked him. Because I said, I'm rooting for Baltimore, but Lamar, like I trust me, Kansas City, where they were like 3.5-point underdogs, I'm like, Kansas City's going to win this football game. Just watch. And I saw the first drive. Baltimore went 3-and-out. Mahomes got the ball. They went down, scored a touchdown. You can ask who I was watching with, my dad, sister, everyone. I said, the game is over. It's over. We'll get a quick ad, and we'll discuss what Dan Campbell was thinking for going forward on fourth down twice in the NFC Championship game last night. I'm Tommy Lane. We're back after this quick word from our sponsors, the Tommy John Show.
Are you a student interested in giving yoga a try? For just $60, new students can discover the joys of movement and harmony with unlimited access to classes at Moda Yoga Montreal. Located in the heart of the plateau, the Moda Yoga Studio offers a variety of hot yoga classes with something to match every ability level. They're good to find your flow or just recharge. Karma classes excluded, and the offer renews automatically after 1 month at $139 per month. Can be canceled at any time without penalty up to 1 week before the renewal. Moda Yoga Montreal is located at 3863 Saint Laurent Boulevard, and for more information, you can go to modayogamontreal.com.
If you like served with a side of a little bit of and a heaping helping of... then you're gonna love BVST, your best and worst of rock and roll, country, punk, and metal, every Wednesday from 7 to 9, right here on CJLO 1690 AM.
That goes out to all those Lions fans today. I bet this is the most played song in Detroit today. Some Eminem, but some sad Eminem. Man, that was... I cannot believe... So, first of all, watching that game yesterday, I was at my buddy's house. We were kind of like just in awe. We kept saying to ourselves, are the Lions actually in this game? Like, is this a joke? Like, the Detroit Lions are in the NFC Championship game. What are we doing? Like, what is this? Are we dreaming? Is this just... The Lions are in the NFC Championship game. And we're saying, oh, do they have a chance? You never know. Their offense can score. You know, maybe Purdy makes some mistakes, and we got ourselves a football game. And then they played... a complete first half of football, complete dominance. And I turned to my buddy and I said, oh my God, the Lions are going to go to the Super Bowl. They're half away. They just play average. They are going to the Super Bowl. And it still didn't seem real. Even at 24-7, didn't seem real. Not because they weren't capable, just because that franchise is just known for falling short and being pathetic. And they were a half away, two quarters away, up three scores to going to the Super Bowl. Then don't ask me what happened after that. The wheels fell off. And that was the most Lions ending to a game I've ever seen. If you ask Lions fans today, I think they would have rathered San Fran just destroying them. I think they would have preferred that. You know what? We made it this far. No one thought we'd make it this far. Yeah, we just ran up against a buzzsaw in the 49ers, and it just wasn't our day, but what a time to be a Lions fan. We have a bright future. No. You were the better team Sunday. The Lions were the better football team until they weren't. I cannot believe, like, that is the most Lions thing ever, being up 17, going in the fourth quarter, and then, not that they lost, but how they lost. On a fourth, you know, they've gone for fourth down the whole year, and even Dan Campbell said, I don't regret my decision, that's what we've done all year. Agreed. But just look what happened. They had an interception, like it was a guaranteed interception. Hit the corner in the head, and it flies up, and Ayuk makes a spectacular catch. Jahmyr Gibbs, who's been rock solid all year, runs the wrong way. Goff has to turn and hand it to him, doesn't get a clean handoff, and he fumbles. That's two. And then I'm sorry, Dan. I know Dan Campbell went for it the first time. I think it was at what 24-10. The offense is buzzing. It's their first drive of the quarter. They literally were moving the ball at will in the first half. All right, go for it. 2 yards, fine. But after that, the second time, the wheels are falling off. Get points. You need points. And they went for it again, and it didn't work out. But the first one, Josh Reynolds, even on third and long, that ball hit him right in the chest. Even Greg Olsen said it hit him in the stomach. Jared Goff could not have thrown a nicer pass. Hit him right in the stomach, and he dropped it. I mean, and just, they had a chance to at the end if they didn't use the timeout. Remember, they ran the ball on third and goal with a minute left, down 10. He's tackled in play. They got to burn a timeout, and then now the game's over. If they threw the ball instead, they would have saved the timeout. And even if you don't get the onside kick, you have a chance to get the ball back. It's just these little things that added up. And credit to Brock Purdy today, because he was brutal. And then when they needed him the most, he stepped up. In the fourth quarter, he was great. The entire second half, frankly, he was great. And I'm not saying Brock Purdy is an elite quarterback, but he showed a lot yesterday. Sure, he might not be the most talented. Sure, he might not be, you know, the most vocal guy. He's not the best leader. He played well in this. I have to give it up. I've been a Brock Purdy defender. It's not his fault that he was the last pick in the draft. It's not his fault he went to a team that was stacked. He was just put in this position. And people go after him all the time saying he's not. Can you believe he was in the MVP conversation? Okay, relax. It wasn't him. He was just playing well. It's easy to hate on Brock Purdy when the media is trying to make him look like a game manager. Guy, oh shucks, gee whiz, how am I supposed to be here? Like he won the lottery or something. He was down 17 points. And I don't care. People go, he just hands the ball off to McCaffrey. He just says this. When you're down 17, you got to open up the playbook a bit and throw the ball. And he did that. And he was using his legs to move the chains. To say that wasn't a gutsy performance by Brock Purdy, like, absolutely what it was. He is not, does not have the biggest arm. He's not the biggest, he's not the fastest, not the strongest, but he helped will the 49ers to victory. And I'm not saying he's an elite quarterback, but he now, in his 2 years as a starter, has taken the Niners to the NFC Championship game and now to the Super Bowl. And who knows, if he doesn't get hurt on the first play of the game against the Eagles last year, he could have went to 2 Super Bowls. Brock Purdy, good job, buddy. You silenced a lot of people yesterday. That was a gutsy performance. And we need to see it again in the Super Bowl. I understand that. But good on you. But for Detroit Lions fans, man, that's a tough way to lose. And then Jared Goff played great. I thought Jared Goff was spectacular. He looked calm. He had time to throw. And he was throwing just darts and lasers the whole night. So it's not his fault. But I just feel for Detroit. I really do. I love Dan Campbell. That team will not, they'll be fine. No team plays for their head coach like the Lions play for Dan Campbell. Maybe how the Steelers play for Mike Tomlin. But that's about it. Next week on the Tommy John Show will be the last show of the NFL season, the week before the Super Bowl. We'll talk, obviously, about the game and preview that. Also, we got to talk about what to expect in the NHL and the NBA for the second half of the season. I am Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. We are back next Monday, 2 to 3 p.m. Eastern, on CGLO 1690 AM. Your sticker.
Usted está escuchando.